hearted here. I'm going to ask Chris again, Eric, to come up. He's going to give us just a presentation on mental health and other fun things. So we'll go ahead and just turn it over to him, and at the end we'll have just a closing prayer for the night. And I don't know if we have a hymn or anything. No? Okay. Just all right.
Carry on, Chris.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Willie. Yeah, Willito, sorry. Okay, well, that was a great dinner. Thank you very much for that. And the hospitality here has been great. We've been really pleased to be with Dave and Judy. They've been taking good care of us. So I do have a little bit of a funny story to start with. Sister Dolores Sleeper, some of you know Ted Sleeper. Sister Dolores is a school counselor, and she and I had put together a weekend seminar around just counseling for Christadelphian ecclesias, and we went around and did that to a number of different ecclesias. We came and stayed with the Gadberries one time, and Dolores was a runner, so we got in there late Friday night, and Dolores got up early in the morning, she usually does, and went for a run, and then I got up, and I went downstairs having breakfast, you know, no Dolores. I'm like, that's weird, you know, it's not like her. And all of a sudden I look and I see in the next to the front door, there's like one of those windows, you know, and I see a figure kind of moving back and forth. And so I go to the door and I open it. Dolores is like, oh, thank you. I went for a run in the neighborhood and I got lost. I didn't know what the house looked like, you know, and I've been looking in the front windows of all of these houses. I'm like, great, Dolores, you know, get the police on us, you know, while we're out. I went on a run this morning, and I took a picture of your address and the street sign just to make sure on my phone that I knew how to come back, because I thought that'd be horrible if I did that again. So, okay, so nothing serious tonight. We're going to just talk a little bit about some goofy stuff about California, and also about, you know, generally about mental health stuff and relationship stuff. So hopefully we'll have some fun, and if we learn something, then I'll be amazed. So I thought that it would be good for me to kind of prove my California credentials to you, in case you were wondering, am I really a Californian? So I thought I'd spend a little bit of time doing that. A native of Ridgecrest, California, and so if you don't know where Ridgecrest is, have you ever seen, like, when they do the weather map, they say, like, the hottest place in the United States, Death Valley, right? Well, it's about, you know, probably 50 miles from Death Valley. So that's where I was born, the hottest place ever. So I was just joking about the heat. You know, I had my down jacket on when I was out running to this morning. It is not hot here. So born in Ridgecrest, that's what it looks like. It's really beautiful, right? Bushes. You know, everything's pretty much dead. In fact, all the front yards there have nothing but, like, red rocks, and sometimes they'll just have, like, cow skulls and stuff like that, you know, like dead stuff. Yeah. So, anyway, that's what it looks like there. I do drive a hybrid Prius, a Toyota Prius, so that gives me a good street street cred in California. No, those are what we call mountains. Yeah, right. Yeah, similar, but they have less ants. I have facial hair. That's also important. I failed the Arkansas test, which went something like this. When I was 19, I went on Onesimus because I was in an unamended ecclesia in the Bay Area. That's like Truth Corps, right? So the training is in Arkansas at the Arkansas Bible School. So we're there, and we're a bunch of young people. There was also a little bit of concern about having young people, you know, together, right? Which was obviously going to be bad. And so some of the folks in this very conservative ecclesia were concerned about Onesimus having the training there at the Bible school. So on Sunday, for memorial service, we all went and we said, we're going to really be on our best behavior. So we were all dressed up. We're going to say, we're going to be good examples of spiritual young people and kind of prove them wrong in a good way. So, of course, we walk in, and they have wooden pews there, and so we thought, well, let's sit in the front, because, you know, teenagers sitting in the back, you're always thinking, what are they up to? We're going to sit in the very front row, you know, and we're going to show that we're really dedicated Bible students. So we all go in the front row, and we sit down, and we were kind of nervous about it, so we literally all went, stood up, and then we sat down together. Well, the collective force of 15 kids sitting down on an old wooden pew at the very same time, we ripped the entire back, the front of the back of the whole front row of the pew cracked off, you know. We're like, we've broken your pews, we're so sorry. Well, of course, they were mortified that, you know, we were almost injured coming to meeting, so that was in our favor. But then afterwards, I'm talking to a lovely sister, and she says, so where are you from? I was like, okay, well, here we go. So, well, I'm from California. She's like, California, really? It's like, well, where do you live in California? Well, I live in Berkeley, California. Well, what are you doing in Berkeley? Well, I'm going to college in Berkeley. I mean, you can see I'm just going downhill from here, right? California, Berkeley, going to college. And what are you studying? Psychology, right? So she did not skip a beat. She kind of realized the hilarity of the moment there, and she says, look, move on down to Arkansas. We'll find you a good job at the factory and a nice sister to marry, and we'll get you straightened out. So, no lie. So I said, thank you, sister, for your concern for me. I really appreciate it. So, what's that?
You and Timothy Leary.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, the only thing I wasn't doing was drugs. So anyway, failed the Arkansas test. I can say that. I am from California. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was the Arkansas test. Okay, so this is my house. Can you see that? This is like right here is like 10 million people. So my house is, I don't know, in there somewhere. It's actually up here, over here in lovely Ventura County. Ventura County is separated by a very, very small mountain right over here, which means that we are not L.A., and we take a lot of pride in not being L.A., and nobody actually goes over there unless they're forced to, right? Their insurance company's making them, or there's, you know, some other reason. So we live in Simi Valley, and then my work in the nonprofit that I work for is over there in Camarillo. Pretty close to the coast, really nice. Once the global warming is finished, it'll be some nice beachfront property there. So our housing values will finally go back up, because right now they are not, I can assure you. So a few facts to help you know when you are really a Californian. So, fastest part of your commute is down your driveway. Okay. You were born somewhere else, because lots of people come to California from other places. You know how to eat an artichoke, right? Because we grow a lot of them there. The primary bugs that you worry about are electronic, right? We have fire ants, but they're a different electronic kind. You know, they aren't actually the real red ones. Your car has bulletproof windows, especially if you're in LA. Yeah, that's pretty handy. Left is right, and right is wrong. Okay? Your monthly house payments exceed your annual income, that is still true to this day. You dive under a desk whenever a large truck goes by, because it starts to rumble, and you're thinking, earthquake, right? So everybody's under their desk, and then they come out and go, oh, it's just a truck, right? In fact, the building that I'm in, my office is on the second floor, and there's a lot of trucks that go by, and literally the building starts to shake, and, you know, you can tell people are looking at each other like, no, it's just a truck, yeah. So that's the earthquake stuff. You drive to your neighborhood block party, because everybody drives there. Your family tree contains significant others. That's true. You go to a tanning salon before going to the beach, because again, you don't want to burn, you know, you want to kind of get a head start on that. Smoking in your office is not optional. I know you probably can do that here, but we can't do that there. You pack shorts and a t-shirt for skiing in the snow, and a sweater and a wetsuit for the beach. That is true. I have done both of those things. Your children learn to walk in Birkenstocks. Others in just shoes. In California, it's Birkenstocks. Rainstorms or thunder are lead and story for the local news. No lie, when we moved to Sacramento, it was hilarious. There is, you know, literally just like it's sprinkling and it comes up Storm Watch 2010, you know. That's what we have to pay attention to. You reluctantly miss yoga class to wait for the hot tub repairman. A glass has been reserved for you at your favorite winery. Your cat has its own psychiatrist and you see 25 lawyers chasing an ambulance. So that is, that's when you know you're in California. You know you're from Southern California when you make over $250,000 and you still can't afford a house. Your child's third grade teacher has purple hair, nose ring, and is named Breeze. That's about right. And her children are probably Moonshadow and something else, right? A really great parking space can move you to tears. That's happened. A low-speed police pursuit. Yeah, that'll interrupt any TV broadcast. It is true, yeah. They're going 12 miles an hour, and 9 police cars are following them. You're thinking of taking an adult class, but you can't decide between aromatherapy and conversational Mandarin, you know? It's hard to choose, really. Both sound interesting. Best friends just named their twins after her acting coach and his personal trainer. Yeah, that sounds right. It's sprinkling and there's a report, right? Like I said, Stormwatch 2012. The 3-hour traffic jam wasn't caused by a horrific 9-car pileup, but everyone slowly to rubberneck at a broken down limo with tinted windows. So they're thinking, hey, I might see a celebrity. In fact, that was me the other day. I was driving and there was a convertible Bentley with the windows completely blacked out and the license plate was Pacino. So there I am going, maybe Al Pacino's in there, you know? Then after a while, I'm thinking to myself, Al Pacino's not going to ride around the car that says Pacino. You know, he wouldn't do that. He'd never get anywhere. Anyway, that was me. Okay, so similarities between me and the governator. So you know that Arnold Schwarzenegger used to be the governor of California, right? And now it's Jerry Brown. So I did this presentation when Schwarzenegger was the governor, so I'll start out doing that. But then I realized that there's actually similarities between me and the current governor, Jerry Brown, as well. So this is pretty exciting. Schwarzenegger. Sternad. That's me, Chris Sternad, right? He's Austrian, okay? Well, so am I. My dad's from Austria. I live in California. He lives in California. And my dad can say that because that's the way he speaks too. I have smoked a cigar once or twice. And he has smoked a cigar. In fact, he likes to do that all the time. I drive a Prius. He drives over Priuses in his Hummer, right? So that's close enough in my book. I'm not a girly man, and he's not a girly man either. You know that famous quote that Schwarzenegger was attributed to. So similarities again between... Oh, there's Arnold. And there's me and Julia Roberts. So we hang out sometimes together. Julia's a good friend of mine. We were in London, I think, at the time there. So I just thought maybe, you know, he's a celebrity and I'm kind of near celebrities. Of course, she's made of wax there at the Wax Museum, but that's really not really the point that I was trying to make. Rubbing elbows with celebrities. Has large elbows. Okay, yeah, that's even better. So here's me, if you can't tell, and this is Governor Jerry Brown. Pretty good, huh? Yeah. I mean, he's about 70, so I think maybe in 20 years, honey, I'm going to look like this guy over here, I'm pretty sure. That's not bad. Could be worse. I could have like a huge beard or something like that, but okay. Looking off to the right, going around, looking off to the left. Okay, yeah. So I work for a nonprofit agency, and it's a social service agency, and we provide all kinds of services across our county. So these are the top 10 reasons why it's great to work or volunteer for a nonprofit, in case that's a career move you're wanting to make. You have way too much money, and you'd like to do something else. Number 10, have no guilt over making too much money, right? Because that doesn't happen at nonprofits. Be the only person at the cocktail party who actually has a meaningful job. helping people. Now I've insulted everyone. Learn how to fix your own office furniture. Why buy new when there's duct tape? So my office chair, and I'm the executive director of the agency, has two pieces of duct tape down either side of the back because it was coming apart. And I did it. I'm pretty handy that way. Work with some of the nicest, most committed people. And that is really true. Practice your mental health skills with some of those nice and committed people. That is also true. Don't just feel superior, but actually be superior to bankers and investment brokers. And that's even funnier today than it was a couple years ago now. But that is true. Get exclusive firsthand knowledge of some neighborhoods in your city that your friends and family will never visit. Okay? Work for a company that actually loans the state of California money every year. Talk about solving the state budget problem. So, yes, that would happen every year. We have a contract with the state of California. State of California's budget is always late. You remember hearing about that on the news, right? So what that means is that we're providing the service, even though we have no contract and we don't get paid one year for 5 months. Right? So we were basically loaning the state of California money. It was solved amazingly by one very simple law change or rule change that they made in the California legislature. Thank you. Do you know what it was? Legislators don't get paid until the budget is signed. I know. Isn't that brilliant? I wish I would have thought of that. I would have gotten this over with a lot sooner. So that happened 2 years ago, and guess what? Last year, on-time budget. State of California. This year, on-time budget. It's amazing. It's like a miracle for us nonprofits that depend on state funding. Number two, dog. Stay up on the latest teen slang. Beat a bomb. Which is very ancient slang for anyone who's under the age of 20. But anyway, the number one reason, free Office Depot coffee. So, I'm sure I've really convinced you that working for a nonprofit is really fun and a great idea. So I hope you give it a try. Okay, that's the end of that slideshow.
But wait, there's more. This one takes a little bit to load it up. So there's some things where we'll talk about relationships, and then there's something that I like to call a diagnosis by parking. So if you're kind of wondering what kind of mental health diagnoses there may be amongst you in the ecclesia, use this handy guide. Just observe the parking lot, and it'll all become clear.
So, okay, should be coming up in a second. All right, that's me, Professor Sternad, Relationship 101. So these are some quizzes and things like that. Okay, one sure way to test a relationship is to shop with your boyfriend. Not only is joint shopping stressful, but it amplifies differences in temperament and taste. It can even lead to bickering, brawls, and mayhem. So take this compatibility quiz now, or risk being ousted from your favorite boutique. Okay, when you arrive at the mall, he, A, says, "Let's shop together. It'll be fun." B says, "Meet me in hardware." C vanishes. So this is a way, ladies, for you to maybe kind of test out kind of, you know, your prospects for a guy, right? Or for you women, you'll know what you are or are not getting in your relationship now that you're stuck to the guy. Number two, in men's clothing, he asks your opinion and compliments your taste. That probably happens a lot, right? B buys a tie he already owns, right? Honey, you got two of those.
I do? I didn't know I had red ones.
C, bemoans the demise of a leisure suit. Yeah. That's not a good one. Number three, while shopping for men's underwear, he agrees to try Argyle socks. Wow, that's a bold fashion maneuver. Balks at replacing torn shirts because they're just broken in right now. C, doesn't know his size. Mommy always buys my shorts. Right. Yeah. Number five, when you try and address, he tells you everything looks great. B, checks the price before giving an opinion. That's my favorite one. I do that. Falls asleep on a pile of returned clothes while you're trying clothes on, you know. Because again, it's been about 30 minutes too, right? So, I mean, you can't blame him for getting a little sleepy. At the jewelry counter, he admires a pair of his or her gold rings. That's a nice sign. Claims to prefer flashy trinkets. Promises to buy you something nicer off the truck. Yeah, watch out for that number C guy. In electronics, helps you choose a home computer. Asks for easy to use software for the little lady. Or C, watches the ball game on the giant TVs. Come on, guys, raise your hand. Who does that? I mean, seriously, in fact, Sharon loves to tell this story about me. When we were first married, I come home from work, literally, we had teenagers at the time from her first marriage, before she came into the truth. Teenagers are watching my stepkids are watching the TV. Literally, I walk in the door, I've got my briefcase, I take two steps into the door, and I'm watching TV, standing up, holding my briefcase, because I'm like a moth to the flame, you know. Sharon comes around the corner 20 minutes later. Hello, you know, are you going to put your briefcase down? Oh, yeah, thank you. Right, so that's me and TV. It's not a good combination. At the video store, he finds a classic film you'll both enjoy, skips the video selection, and agonizes over which candy to buy, or suggests you buy a workout tape. Yeah. Them are fighting words there. In the bookshop, what does he do? Either walks you to fiction where you discuss your favorite authors. Yeah, tells you he could write a bestseller if only he had the time. See? Sprints to the coffee bar in the back for donuts. In the record store, for those who are, under 20, it's like a big black circle, and it's got some ribs on it, and you could put it on a spinny thing and put an arm on it, and sound would come out. It was awesome. We used to have them. Finds you a long-sought CD on the discount rack. How thoughtful. Heads for hard rock. Asks where the 45s are. Yeah. At the toy store, what does he do? He either helps select a game for your nephew, that's a very kind gesture, plays Feelings nonstop on the electric piano, that's decidedly unhelpful, or elbows children aside to play video games. Get out of the way, you nose miner. At Pets R Us, he oohs and ahs at kittens and puppies. Aw, isn't that sweet? Sneezes violently because he's allergic to animals, or mentions a childhood mishap involving parakeets and snakes. At the supermarket, he either says, you do aisles 1 to 8 and I'll handle 6 to 19. 9 to 16. Spends hours selecting beer and chips, or appears stunned by the invention of scanners. Where did these things come from? If the supermarket line is long, he offers to save your place while you look around, whines about having developed blisters, wanders off to munch on free samples. Right? Who hasn't done that at Costco? In fact, I was so impressed, we went to the Katy Mall, and in the food court there, they have like lanes on the bottom. One says 1, 2, and 3. Have you seen these things in around that food court? If you're in 1, you get some food samples from the vendors there. If you go into number 2, they give you more. And if you're 3, you're eating all the way around. It was pretty amazing. I've never seen that kind of thing happen. So dedicated to giving you free food. If someone bought you something defective. He offers to return it. That's nice. Tries to convince you, well, it isn't all that bad. Hides it to avoid a scene. That's more me. That's why I'm like, well, let's just not bring this one up. Okay, when you finish this quiz, total all your ABCs. If you have 10 or more A's, you two may safely attempt a trip to the mall. Fewer than 10 A's, seriously consider leaving him home. And if you have more than 10 C's, check his parents' refund policy. Perhaps his folks will take him back. Okay, so just some helpful hints for you. Now, the final and best of the evening here is diagnosis by parking. So again, if you have always been kind of secretly thinking, you know, I'm kind of a mental health professional, I can sort of figure people out, well then this will probably be easy for you. But if you have no clue and you really want to get a bead on who is in your ecclesia, then you should use these helpful tips. They're very easy. So this is really a diagram of the Simi Hall. So Dave and Judy, you'll recognize this, right? The halls. What's that? I know, see, it's right there. There's a handicapped spot right there, and there's always like a big, huge boat that's really parked really poorly right there by someone who can't see very well. But and then there's all the parking over here, and here's the entrance, okay?
Don't you have another row, a double row?
Where it says diagnosis by parking,
don't you actually have another row?
Okay, look, this is my presentation. Really? It's not to scale either. I'm sorry. I'm not an architect. Gee. Okay. And now he's violent. Okay. So diagnosis by parking. Let's see about this first one. So there's our little guy. This is your ecclesial member. He's probably not wearing a helmet when he comes to meeting. If he is, that's a whole other diagnostic category. We won't go over that. So here we go. Which one is this? I think this is just a regular parking, right? That is just, so if someone parks like that, chances are they're probably pretty clear as far as mental health issues go. This is anxiety. So these are the telltale signs of anxiety. So here he comes, looking for a parking place. Not really sure where to go. Deciding to go back. Yeah, I can't do this today. Sorry, yeah. No. Too scary. Not going to happen. Well, maybe we'll try again. Oh, it looks like he's edging towards the left there. Yeah. Oh, he's getting out. Oh, no. Yeah. Try number three. Let's see. Come on. Oh, there. Oh, yeah. Finally got down. Okay. Good. That may be a symbol of anxiety. Okay. But they're in a parking spot. That's good. It's farthest one away from the building. But hey, you know, let's look on the positive side. They made it. Depression. Okay, the telltale signs of depression as it relates to parking. Okay, doing pretty good. Coming in, not feeling all that great about himself. Not paying attention. Oh, no. Oh, he's crashed into another parked car. This is horrible. My day has gone so bad. Oh, now it's going to get worse. I think it's going to start raining on me. Oh, no, it's raining on me. Could this day be any worse? Oh, no, really? Oh, no, this is the worst day ever. Oh, our poor friend, he's just having a bad time. So, that is depression. Isn't that true? Just, life is horrible. Narcissism, we just touched on that a little bit. What is narcissism? It's a person who is thinks they're awesome, and all the rest of you are substandard. That would be the basic description of narcissism. So, let's see what happens to the narcissist as they try to attempt their parking. Doing pretty good so far. Looking for a stall. Yep, this is a good one for me. Yeah. I need to park right in the front. Who cares about the handicapped? This is the closest to the building. Yep, that's narcissism. So there's an ecclesial member who we have in mind who I thought I was going off the edge there, who is a great narcissistic parker. So I love to park in that person's space. It's really my way of being helpful to try to get them to branch out a little bit. I'm not sure if they feel it the same way. We're in the middle of treatment, but that's my attempt. So that's narcissism.
You're sitting in the hall too, then.
Yeah, I think it's really healthy for people to be outside of their comfort zone.
Or you can't sit here tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look for that one seat that people like to sit at, and I'm going to find it. So I did actually, it was a little bit mean, but I was trying to be, it was just mean, I shouldn't have done it. It was, got a hold of their Facebook, and they were having an argument with somebody else over Facebook, you know, and we were out at a dinner party together, so I took this person's phone, and I made a really nice apology to this other person that they were fighting with from their Facebook, and then they never mentioned it. They probably weren't that impressed with my I was just trying to help. Okay, so obsessive compulsive disorder. Let's see what happens here. Yeah, doing pretty good. Right down the middle. Wow, that's very exacting. Oh, has selected a parking place that looks just right to use, and it's going to be just, that's perfect. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, that's not quite right. We're going to really adjust that. We're going to get in there. Just, no. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Yeah. That is obsessive compulsive disorder right there. Multiple personality disorder. We talked about this, didn't we, Stan? I mean, not personally talked about it. I didn't mean that. We were talking about it in a intellectual sense. Yeah. So I'm sorry to both Stans right now. So multiple personality disorder. Here comes our ecclesial member, and seems to have found a nice, kind of a good parking spot there. Everything's, yep, I think I'll park there too. And, yep, that looks good too. How about there? Yeah, okay. So I like to say that, you know, if you are talking to yourself, that's really not a problem. Sometimes people feel, I should do that, you know. But talk to yourself is fine. Even having a discussion with yourself or an argument is fine. But if you're talking to yourself and you have an argument and you lose the argument, that's when it's not fine. So just a little helpful hint there. Okay, so in the end, aren't we just all a little bit crazy? That is true. And that's it. So they told me to do something light and funny, and sorry for disappointing you, but that's it. Thank you.
Back to you.